Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, and happy Monday, everyone. Hope everyone's having a fantastic week thus far. And I don't know about you, Bruce, but I was thinking to myself, actually over the weekend, but certainly this morning, I was thinking, when was the last time that the start of a month, the start of a new quarter for the business folks out there, started on a Monday? I'm sure it's more recent than I can think of, but anyway. It's a Monday with the start of a month and a new quarter, so away we go.
That's good. That's good for people who pay rent on the first day, stuff like that. Start the month and the week on that kind of note as well. So yes, you're right. It's been quite a while since that has occurred.
What about quite a while since you've gone venturing outside of the States, been tracking your social media a bit, sir? Someone's had fun for about the last week or so out of the country, you might add.
Yeah, it was a fun week. My son graduated, my youngest graduated from high school. He had always wanted to go on a cruise. And so since he was a good kid and did well, I said, okay. So I found a cruise that went out of Tampa that had four stops. Usually many cruise ships don't have that many stops. You know? And so we went, to Cayman Islands, Honduras, Belize, and Cozumel. So it was a fun trip. You know, it was you get kind of spoiled. But something did happen, Justin. You're gonna like this. They're like, okay. How would you like to do life coaching on the ship, and then we could just fly you and Justin, you know, from wherever, and you could do life coaching seminars on the ship. I thought that'd be kind of nice.
Someone pitched you on that, huh? That's fascinating. So, like, they want to offer that as one of their bolt-on services then for these?
Yeah, because they have people that do, like, other stuff that, you know, essential oils and healthy gut stuff and all this other kind of boutique things with acupuncture and Eastern medicine stuff and stuff like that. But they really don't have anybody that would do coaching. And so, of course, when they talked to me, I said something about small business coaching and life coaching, because I think a lot of people who are on those cruises are involved in small or medium-sized business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, to take a vacation in the first place, I mean, either you're a corporate employee that takes your 1 or 2 weeks a year, okay, I'll give you that, but most of the times, I too, like you, find it's other small business owners or people that are aspiring entrepreneurs. So, yeah, I think that's a very necessary part of the market segment to focus on.
Yeah, and then some of the older folks that are a little bit older than I am, I forget that I'm old, but, so some of those folks may be venturing into some sort of, you know, what's next for their life, you know, at, mid, late 60s or 70s or whatever, you know what I mean? Because some of those people just go on there and they burn their life on a cruise ship. You know, I met some people that had gone, 10, 12 cruises, you know, in a year. I would hate that. So unless I was getting paid.
That's, yeah, no.
Paid, I could do it. But other than that, man, you know, it gets a little bit Groundhog Day-ish. Anyway, so we can develop that idea.
That's fascinating, though. So is that something that actually can go somewhere that we should talk about offline?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. I mean, yeah, we can talk about off the line later. I mean, it's, you know, I want you to, because, you know, I kind of told them about you and your book, Entrepreneurship, and then they saw the LA Talk Radio stuff. And they saw a couple of pictures with you without a shirt on, and that really did it there. So
okay. My goodness. Oh,
I'm teasing about the shirt.
You still like to live vicariously through me. My kids
have similar morphs going on in their world. So no, man, everybody lifts weights around here except for me, and yeah, I'm going to pretty soon. I used to.
it's funny if they only knew what I looked like today, that I was that 8-pack's a little softer than it once looked. I'm much happier than I probably was back then, because you know, more of my life is complete and whole, I would say. But and I tell you what, you move in with a Latina together, and oh, she knows the way to your heart. She just cooks for you, and you know, next thing you know, next thing you know, you put on a couple lbs. So that's funny. Well, speaking of small businesses, and small businesses, you know, in the LA area, I'm extremely excited to introduce our guest for today, Bruce. You know, like all of our guests, I think they all bring a unique flair to the show. This one in particular has a powerful story, though. You know, Luis Arango, who is now officially, as of the last couple months, the owner of Lupita's Market, which we'll share a little bit, I'm sure, about that story of how that came to be about. But Lupita's Market, which is a family-owned and operated business by mother, daughter, and son, and they have a really powerful mission, and that is to create a healthier market for youth, and specifically in downtown LA and the Westlake neighborhood. They've actually been serving that area for well over 25 years now. And due to the issues of food, and specifically quality food options and accessibility in the Los Angeles area, they have been chosen by the Food Policy Council to have a remodeling done on their store, which is actually going to be happening next month, this August. Right. So they're working with this nonprofit. They're going through this amazing transformation. It's a family owned and operated business that's been around for 25 years. And they're really at the epicenter and the forefront of this just social and diet change that's going on. You know, I mean, we talk about, and we have talked about, like diabetes and some of these big world problems. They're really doing their part. Luce is excited to share her personal stories and her current mission as the owner of Lupita's Market. So it's with my great pride and pleasure to introduce Miss Luce Arango to the show. Luce, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Luce, so excited to have you on here today. I know I shared a bit about your background and story as current owner operator of Lupita's Market, but for the listeners out there that don't know or haven't visited your website or know much about you yet, could you just, you know, share a little bit more about, you know, who you are with our listeners out there?
Yes, of course. Well, first of all, I want to say to the both of you, I'm very happy to be here. I'm very excited. Thank you for having me on your show. I love it, and I am really happy to share the message and a little bit more about my family, our history, and why we are doing what we're doing and why I'm remodeling this shop. So just a little backstory about myself. I grew up in Los Angeles, grew up in the city of Pico Rivera, and grew up in the store my entire life and up until I was since 6 years old. And one of the things that I wanted to say is that my mother started the store about 25 years ago. She's a single mom. She came here to the United States as an immigrant, and she was left, with two kids, with twins. So when she felt the need that she needed to build something more for herself and something she could sustain, money, and her dream was to create her own business, she opened up Lupita's Market. Because we were in the store our entire time growing up there, we went through a couple of hardships living there and being there, because when it comes to having your own business and small businesses, a lot of people will know it takes a lot of sacrifice and it takes a lot of time. So being one person, one man show with two small kids, it was a little difficult. But now that we are older and we've been there for 25 years, we appreciate, and I simply appreciate, all that hard work, because it taught me to strive for more, and that's where we're at now.
That's impressive, and it's really a testament to you and to your family, and it's really a great story about just America and taking the opportunities that are afforded to us. I would say living here in America and really capitalizing on them. So could you just share a bit more about just the genesis, the beginnings of Lupita's Market, and kind of how that came to be?
So my mom was at the time working in the service industry, and from a friend, she heard that there was an opportunity to open on a lot in an area where she can open up a business, whatever she like. So she got an idea of opening up a market. At the time, there wasn't a lot of markets, just like there is right now. There's not a lot of markets in that area. Even from 25 years ago till now, there hasn't been a lot of evolution in the area, especially when it comes to food. So she said, oh, well, there's a need for a market in the area. I'm going to open one. And she started with all of her savings and everything that she had, and she put it into the store. So with that came a lot of great opportunities in the area. For a long time, there was a big community of apartments and complexes and houses, and throughout the years they threw those down. And from there, which that was hard on our business, but we still, sustained them as we could. And then they opened up and built up they built and opened a school. So in the past about 10 to 15 years, there's been a high school right across the street from Lupita's Market. Across the street from that, about 20 years ago, Gratz Elementary opened up. So a lot of our customers there are children, and that's who we take care of a lot. A lot of high schoolers and a lot of elementary school te a lot of elementary school teachers, a lot of teachers from the high school, but primarily our business is youth.
It's such a powerful mission, because to me it's like, and Bruce and I kind of jokingly talk a lot on this show about the we even self-proclaimed good cop, bad cop, old cop, new cop. And the reality is this generational transfer of wealth, call it the passing of the torch. And really it's just the evolution of society. I mean, it's well underway, and the youth is the future. And you've been at the forefront of that in, the downtown Los Angeles Westlake area for over 25 years. I am sure have seen quite a bit of transformation, some probably good, some probably not as good, take place. So could you maybe just talk for a moment about what that means to not just you, but to you, your mom, your brother, your family, to be really in the epicenter of that, specifically in the Los Angeles community?
Yes. So being that we are surrounded by so much youth, when you have a business, especially a lot of you might understand, because I've spoken to a lot of people along this journey, who as kids, even if they're now in their 50s, 60s, 30s, 40s, they remember that corner store they used to go to. And they remember how they used to buy their snacks or knickknacks, whatever they wanted. And they remember the store owner, and it was the same person all the time. They remember their talks and what they used to speak about, and then they grow up. So then there's history there. So some of the most amazing experiences that I've had is watching a lot of these kids grow up, and store owners influence those kids from what they serve and what they serve in merchandise to who they are as people. My mother has always been a person that strives for hard work, strives to better themselves. Think about it. My mother had an education level that was very low because of her economic problems when she was in the 50s and 60s. Her mother died at 17 years old, so she had to take care of all her brothers and sisters, being the oldest. Yet my mother has always tried to strive for success as best she could. And she has a very empowering story, suffered a lot in her life, but always tried to strive for more and try to better herself and be a good person. And that's something my mom has always shown. Being a good person is very important. So when these kids come in and they see my mother, as I've always seen my mother, as a motherly figure, and they feel safe and they feel loved. And that's just has to do with who she is and the store owner. So as I started growing up, I began to influence kids as well. When you're around in a community where some of these kids don't have parents, some of these kids don't have parents that are available because they're working, a lot of the issues with parents not always being able to be there, like in my case, my mother had to work, but I had a store to go to, they're not always around. So you lose that connection sometimes. So when these kids come in and they feel at home, it's something that is very empowering and beautiful, because we get to give that. And you don't think about it that way because you say, oh, it's just a corner store. But what they think about every time when I talk to them and they're graduating high school and they say, oh, I remember you guys when I was 5, 6 years old. Oh, I loved coming here. Oh, I love what your mom used to tell me. Thanks to her, I did this, I did that. And I see that influence she's had on kids, you know, on these past years. And I am taking the torch to do the same and doing it in a way where I can not only provide, you know, more in our store by remodeling that is healthier and better and take care of a lot of the issues that we have in our area, but also provide that feeling of love and community that we have, that we've always had in this entire time.
I love what you just said there, and I want to come back to the store remodel here in a bit and talk about, you know, the plans and hear from you, because I haven't even heard too much. I've heard it secondhand from Naomi, but we'd love to hear from you about that. But yes, Let's go back to what you said about she started this basically putting her whole life savings on the line out of a vision. I mean, what a testament to her to have the courage, you know, to do that. Some 25. I mean, have you ever had a conversation with her? And if so, what did it go like to be like, Mom, like, tell me how exactly this went down, that you just put it all on the line, and like, what, like, did God speak to you, or like, how, yes, have you talked to her about this before?
Oh yeah. I, as I've grown up, have become so fortunate, have acknowledged how fortunate I am to have the mother that I have, because she's very empowering, and she has taught me to be a strong woman. Regardless of the good and bad things that you've gone through your life. So yeah, I pick her brain, and I asked her, what made you, how did you even think about, like, I'm just going to put my savings on the line and give it all I got. And her answer is, I had a need. I had a necessity to take care of my two kids, and I wanted to work for myself and not work for anybody else for the rest of my life. And that was her answer. I wanted to be my own boss. And that boggles my mind. Like, wow, Mom, I admire that. You know, saying I wanted to be my own boss. This is 25 years ago. And that really says a lot about who she is and the kind of mother she's been to Raul and I, and how she's shown us that there's nothing you can't do if you put your heart into it, if you find a need, you know.
Think about it too. Like, the thing that amazes me about it is 25 years ago in the greater Los Angeles area, as a Hispanic woman,
Yes.
saying I want to be an entrepreneur in the greater Los Angeles area, that is, she's a pioneer, if you really think about it.
Yes, she is. Another thing that I've just seen her go through that allows me to, she's always been very, very transparent with me and said, Miha, you're going to go through this in life. You're going to go through this in life. She's a warrior for sure. But one of the things she always said, Miha, it wasn't easy. You know, you're a Latina. I have brown color skin. I am a woman. I have two kids. I'm not with your father. I don't have support of a man. And she had to be a lion. She had to work so hard to say, I can do this. I can build this. When doors closed, I'm going to open. I'm going to figure out a way. And that's called hunger. You know, when you're hungry and when you grow up hungry and you know what it means to be hungry, as my mother did when she was a little girl, you appreciate everything. I think my mother always appreciated what a nickel and a dime was. She appreciated what she had. She valued what she had. And she values people. And that's what she's always shown me, to value people for who they are and give it all you got. One of the biggest things that also that I can mention is, and I think that leads us to where who I am and where we are now, but where am I now, is that my mother has always been a giving person. If you were hungry, if you needed something, she's helped so many people. And having a store has allowed a lot of people in need to come in, you know. And so I've seen that, and it's very compassionate, and I've been that way my entire life. I always say I'm just like my mom.
The secret to living is giving, as Tony Robbins says, right? So, and what you just shared about her story is just so powerful, because to me, Bruce and I joke a lot on this show that there's a difference between a entrepreneur and, as we call it, a wantrepreneur. And a wantrepreneur will, they might have entrepreneur on their freaking Instagram, you know, page or whatever it is. I'm an entrepreneur. But that doesn't mean you're an entrepreneur. You know, being an entrepreneur means you actually have the hunger, the purpose, the passion to drive a business forward to success, you know. And in her case, she did, because it was a must have. Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I really, you know, I love what's going on here. I mean, we talked a second before the show. I've spent a lot of time, you know, in LA, but also in Mexico and stuff like that. I love that corner store. I love some of the organic publicity you got from LA this week. You know, it was a really good segment that they did on your store. I, you know, from a third party observer, now, are they going to remodel the store? I think one of my fears, because I saw the outside that looked nice, had the planter box and it had the wood grain. I just, you know, one of my fears as an outsider, I would not want you to lose some of the authenticity that you have, you know what I'm saying, in the store, the way.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know it needs to be modified. I know you're probably sick and tired of all those baker's racks, right? All those I got baker's racks, you know, I got shit stacked on it for days. I get it. But, you know, I like it, you know, like the green wall, you know what I'm saying? So are you guys going to still be able to do this remodel and still stay connected to your root and your base? Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? The old part of the culture.
That is actually a great question, because a lot of people think that when, you know, and we've seen it in Los Angeles, when you have gentrification, the culture of the people and the people who've lived there all their lives kind of gets lost, you know, kind of gets pushed out. But this is a reason why we're doing what we're doing. And let me just tell you a little bit about it. You know, the Food Policy Council walked in my doors almost 2 years ago and said, hey, would you like to learn a little bit more about how to help your business, how to grow it? We have an issue with healthy food. We have an issue with obesity in our neighborhoods, and you are considered a desert area, a food desert, meaning there's no accessible good quality food. So when this happened, I said, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been here all my life. There isn't any good quality food, especially if you want to eat healthy. I know everyone wants to, you know, look good, but more than anything, be healthy, right? And so I said, yeah, what do I have to do? And I did. I started working with them. I became a WIC vendor to provide. WIC is a, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
It helps women and children
sure.
Get good, you know, food. And then I started taking some classes and having more knowledge. And then it led to the remodeling and said, I was given the opportunity to remodel. And remodeling meaning creating an environment where you can have all that accessibility, because when you're a small business, you don't have the funds or the money to vamp up your dream. You put, like I said, my mom put everything in it, you know. So the smallest things, like even a basket to put fruit costs money. So when that happened, I said to myself, all right, I'll take it. And I was very worried about the question that you said was, am I keeping the culture and the history of my family? Well, I am. Because becoming what happens when you support a small business that has been there for a long time, you actually get to uplift that business. And that business is still the same person. So me being the second generation owner, I've been there since I was 6 years old. I know my community. I know my people. I know what they need. I know the struggles. We grew up in all the people in the area, tough neighborhood. Back in the 90s, there was drugs, there was gangs, there was a lot of issues. It makes you tough, right? So I know what these kids have gone through. So when you uplifting the business is not only, it creates, you know, that niceness. It's really nice. Thanks to the partners in Gensler who did their design pro bono. They were able to help me with this, but you haven't lost the people. And the people who are inside the business are myself, my mom, my brother, the people who keep that love sure. to the community. So when you are active, which is what I'm doing now, is being active with and telling your community, hey guys, we're remodeling, but this is for you guys. This is so you have a place to go and eat. This is a place you have a deli, so you have options of healthier food. This is an area where you're going to be able to sit down and do homework, especially when I talk to a lot of the kids. And we have that accessibility now, your community is going to welcome it because they want it.
So has the remodel, I know this piece ran, I believe, in January of this year. Has the remodel already occurred?
No, it begins August 8th.
August, okay.
August 8th. So I've had the opportunity to speak to a lot of our people, our, you know, kids, teachers, and our surrounding community whose apartments in the area and stuff, and I've been able to speak to them and say, hey, what do you think about this? They said, we love it, we need it.
I was just being a devil's advocate, you know.
No, I love
that's what my job is, but this much I kind of get paid to do. But yeah, like I could see, like, you're right there near all those schools and you have all these kids come in there. I love the baskets. I think looking at something in a basket is very inviting. I think for a child, mm-hmm. that's non-threatening. It's like you would see at abuela's house or whatever, you know,
right.
Like I love that. I mean, look, I mean, like if there was a couple of tables and chairs and you could have mm-hmm. a little hangout area or talk to the kids about healthy choices. I love the whole thing about, hey, let's say you did this deal about, let's say you have $5. What are you going to spend with that $5?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. break that down to the kids, bro. I mean, I was like,
yeah, exactly.
I love the way you said that. And
see what happens is that, like, and that's why I always tell people, support your small businesses. When you have people like LA Food Policy Council, Gensler, who did our design, Bill Group, who their people are helping us and partners are helping us do the whole building process pro bono. Simbucks Market, who has helped me negotiate prices with a lot of the vendors that you would find at Whole Foods and at you know, Trader Joe's or whatnot, and bring down the prices for the community so they can afford it. When you look for things, when there's a will, there's a way. So I've developed a community area. So there's going to be a community board in the design. So we bring in the community, have classes. I partnered up with a chef from from Northgate Market, we're going to bring in some good quality items that still bring in the culture. And remember that, you know, people can eat healthy, but still have a culture connection. So we're doing a lot of these things to really keep the integrity and the dignity of who we are, the history. Me telling the story about my mother just reminds everybody that if you have gone through anything in your life that has been rough, there's always a way to get out of it. If you believe and you surpass the, you know, whatever you've gone through by healing and loving and giving back. And so that's where we stand now. So it was very important to us to keep the integrity and the respect of who we were by modifying a design that will still keep people feeling comfortable and at home as they always have.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think, like you said, there's always room for some modifications and improvements and those things. And just because, like you said, you have a lot of kids coming in there and kid friendly, and also with, you know, maybe some social media stuff that you guys may do in the future with a Facebook or an Instagram and have little pictures of folks that have come in there. Now, are y'all going to continue to do the sandwiches or lunches or anything like that?
Yes. Thank you for asking. So the great part about having this new design is that we're including better items, seating, community board to connect our community and have a welcoming place. But we're also, my dream was to have a bigger deli.
Yeah, good.
So the deli is going to give me and I love cooking, which is why I brought that message on LA Talk that you can buy something for $5 and still make it a great meal. because I know I've done it and I know what it means to eat on a budget. But in the deli, what I'm going to do, it's going to give options. Right now I'm bringing in more sandwich menus, soups, salads, food items that will be accessible and also healthy, but as well as at a lower price. So a lot of our students will be able to eat and have discounted prices.
If you guys did like a $5 plate that had the smaller sandwich, you know, a couple of sides, a little bit of a fruit side, you know, and some of the other usual suspects in the middle with the carbohydrate or whatever, vegetable, and then having that, you see what I mean? That's a wrap. That way these little kids don't have to be informed about reading about GMOs or does this thing have, you know, lard in it, man. They come in there, not only buy the packaged stuff, but you can, you know, have these hot meals there at that price point that would satisfy most kids. And then it'd be, you know, comfortable comfort food inside the culture as well as fresh, friendly, and cool.
We also have we also speak to a lot of the businesses in the area. In the entire area, there is not really a lot of good restaurants. So there is people in offices and other places in the area who also would like to have a place where they can even do even grocery shopping or even just, you know, deli food as well. So a lot of the kids too that come in are hungry. I mean, we have kids that are playing sports and everything. So what they're going to right now is chips, soda, and that's not good for them at all. So that's why I started with the small sandwiches that I was giving the children for, you know, $2 or $1.50. But this will now have a menu where we will have a menu now that we will have a set menu and, you know, they have access to eat as much as they want.
Awesome.
And at price points, by the way, that are priced for the market too. I mean, that's the other piece of it.
Exactly.
The prices you're talking about, you couldn't find a sandwich for $1.50 pretty much anywhere. But you've, again, with the partnerships you've created, you know, such a great mission. I love everything about it.
Now, of course, we're not going to be able to afford giving prices for $1.50, $2, but we can. I'm working really hard on this menu so I can develop, you know, prices that could sustain the business as well as, you know, be able to be affordable as, you know, to everyone who comes in, you know, especially children. We'll have some, we'll work on And we are working on some of, discounts that we can do for them, whether it be 10%, 15%. So with the menu, we have the ability to do a lot.
That's
and because
awesome.
Of the space, because of the space we have now with the remodeling and the deli.
And also with those nearby schools, I would contact the administration of that unified school or whatever, and be able to go into the school and give a presentation, or if they have a parents' day or a parents' night, and hand out flyers and stuff like that. Man, I mean, it would just
it'd be awesome.
Just be have just jammed all the time. So definitely, I just love what you're doing, and I can't wait to see how it all turns out for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I was going to say the same thing, by the way, Bruce, from a business perspective, because if the businesses are needing, I would be thinking about how to cater box sandwiches and stuff like that.
Should I be grilling chicken in the back? Chicken, arroz con pollo, a little
arroz
bit of beans.
Arroz con pollo.
And some
pulpa.
Oh,
arroz con pollo.
You'll see the world come out of me, man. But anyway,
I love it.
I'd be back there grilling that chicken and taking it off the bone, putting in a box, you know what I'm saying? That's just something that the kid would see at their grandma's house or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whoever a caregiver is. And it just has that familiarity in a bottle of water, you know what I'm saying? And that's the offer. Hey, were you guys on Groupon at all?
We're not in Groupon. Yeah. Okay. We're a small little corner market.
That's fine.
And then we grew up, we're growing to creating this business, which is what I've been working on with the Food Policy Council for almost 2 years. And then now it's becoming, this is all, again, thanks to my mother and her and embroidering hard work and entrepreneurship in me. This is all a vision that I've had, and it's growing to what it is now. So thanks to the mentality and her heart, always empowering me, I said, hey, let me create an environment. And so this was all now happening organically and with a lot of hard work, of course, for the past year and a half. And this is how I was able to work with Gensler. Gensler is a huge architectural company.
Right.
Bailed Group, their partners, Sunbox Market, which is, they distribute a lot of our snacks and had introduced me to a lot of snacks so I can introduce to the community. And thanks to this whole process, I've been able, we're getting support. And I also need to say that I'm getting support from our council member, Mr. Mitch O'Farrell, that he's helping us as well, supporting. And we're also working on, we did a walkthrough last week, and we were with his council office, and we were walking around the neighborhood because we are at the end of Section 13, which is the area that we're in. District 13. My brother likes to say we're in the beginning of District 13, the entrance of District 13. But we were talking to them and saying, hey, we could do some changes here for traffic safety, some more lighting for safety, some cleanup here. So we're not only as a market, but we're actively working with the community and the council people to create
good.
A nicer area and a better area for the community.
One thing you'll want to do, you got kids coming in there, if they're buying, stuff, you might want to buy a snap filter that's specifically for Lupita's Market. That way when they're looking for geotag filters and the snaps that they're taking to the food, they can choose y'all's filter and those kids do everything through Snap. That's how they
communicate. Yes, they do. That's really great advice.
Of course, we're the concierge coaches, babe.
This is what we do.
I just look old, but what comes
out
of
my mouth. But you know what's going on.
Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely, boy, with zoned Instagram stuff, a Snapchat filter, like you said, those modifications, those meals. And then just that place, there's some brand differentiation, because there's a Lupita's Meat Market, and then there's somebody in Illinois that's kind of giving you interference on Google, has the same name. So again, as you guys get out there, get more social media contacts, get your internet presence kind of in your brand awareness together. Yeah. So it's just, you know what I'm saying? Because Lupita's like right. John Smith, you know what I'm saying?
So I will say, yeah. I will say this just to let everybody know, it's always been Lupita's Market, but we are now, once transformation starts, we are going to be called Lupita's Corner Market.
Perfect.
So we are different. Yes, we're changing the name, not keeping the name of my mother and her legacy, but we're doing Lupita's Corner Market. And on Instagram, if you look for us on Instagram, we are Lupita's Corner Market, and we will be the first ones to pop up. You'll see my mother and I on a picture on our page, and that's Lupita's Corner Market. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. And along those lines, I mean, you know, it's interesting. It reminds me, you're talking there, kind of giving a bit of coach up there. It's because your target market is in your serving, you know, obviously the youth by and large, they're also your greatest raving fans. I mean,
yeah.
Bruce is absolutely right. Like the whole social media ecosystem, just this was a couple of nights ago, Naomi and I went to ice cream. I think it was called Toko's ice cream, something like that in Irvine. And it was Thai ice cream. And the whole reason we went to this place was because literally 3 hours prior to that, one of her girlfriends put it on her Instagram story and wow. showed the process of how they made this ice cream. They like laid it out, flattened it. They rolled it up into these little, like, almost like egg rolls of ice cream, which was really neat. And then you got to top it with whatever you wanted. And they added in, like, fire. Like, if you wanted to roast a marshmallow, they could roast it for you on the spot. I mean, it was amazing, right? So there's this Instagram story, and I saw it, and I'm like, let's go get some ice cream. Because it caught our attention enough. And so it was funny because we walk into the ice cream store and everyone in front of us is on their phone. They're all younger kids and they're all on their phone and they're all doing the same thing. It creates this endless circular marketing stream yeah. for you and for your business that I guarantee you probably another 10 customers that day came in because of other Instagram right. stories.
Yeah. And I can see that.
Yeah, you're going to be hugely successful because the media is going to pick this up on its own. Yeah, like you said, that corner market thing, I just Googled it. Nobody is Lupita's Corner Market right now that's indexing for a Google search term. So perfecto, man, because, yeah, once that gets kind of out there, that'll be a great differentiation point. You know, all the media outlets are, you know, all the feel good, you know, they're going to do you know, the CBS affiliate, the NBC affiliate, everybody's going to want to come by there and see what's going on. And then, like you said, the area politicians and government. And then it's going to be based on attraction rather than promotion. But you still, I think there's some requisite things you need to do with the snap filter and just a couple of moves just to, you know, get a good solid foothold. Yeah.
I just wrote that down on my notes. I'm going to look into that for sure.
All right. So when I come out there, I need a sandwich. At least give me half a sandwich off.
I will. You can definitely have a sandwich.
All right, man.
I want to say thank you guys for definitely what you're doing. I've been listening to you guys for a while, and you guys are awesome and are really, really helping genuinely a lot of people and really sharing some great stories and helping people like me who are in the process. Either hopefully this helps people understand, you know, if they're starting up or if they have a vision or everyone. I do want to say to everybody who has parents who started small businesses, really push them. You know, sometimes these small businesses get lost because kids don't really want anything to do with it. But if you have a passion and really love, you know, what you're doing, just take it on, take the torch. You never know where it gets you. If I would have said no to the Food Policy Council, this would have never happened. But by me saying I'll take the torch and I will do whatever I have to do to get here, we are where we're at. And so I just wanted to say that to everybody. You know, there's something to show when you really, really listen to your heart and to what you want to do. And it leads you to more things.
Well, let me ask you this, because we talk about self-limiting beliefs and stuff like that as coaches and how people are their own worst enemy sometimes. But you took that opportunity. Like you said, you took that opportunity.
I said yes.
Did you say yes? Okay.
Yes.
Did you ever have to struggle with any self-limiting
yes.
beliefs of your own? Can you share just a little bit about that?
Yeah.
We've got six minutes, but yeah.
I know. Well, I'll just say this. You know, when you, it's not always going to be perfect. You're going to doubt yourself at some point in your life. You're going to say, hey, am I doing what I have to be doing? You know, I was right before the Food Policy Council walked through our doors, I was going to school for a complete different thing. And I was finishing my career in radiology, something completely different than this. But when someone walked into and said, hey, you know, I need help with this. Would you want to be a part of this? I said, yes. And I took a leap of chance. And I think it was the first time in my life that I didn't doubt myself. I didn't think twice. I just knew that it was the right thing to do. And I felt it in my inner gut, and I took it on. And every challenge that came my way, I mean, building a business and having to work a second job and do all kinds of things is not easy. But the sacrifices, it taught me the sacrifices that I was already making in school and in other things. I could input that in my own personal life. So there was part of my life in the past where even when I was going to school, you know, I was doubting myself. This is not what I want to do. This is not for me. I feel like I'm meant for something more. And when you put that out there and you put that energy out there, I want something more in my life, things kind of just happen, and you have to say yes to them, and don't be afraid. And if you're afraid, say yes anyway, because you will be surprised. If I always tell my representative, Heidi, who walked in those doors from the Food Policy Council, what if I would have said no to you? What if I would never met with you the first time, you know, you asked me to meet or even just hear you out? None of this would have ever happened. Because of that process, I became a vendor. They helped me to do this. They helped me to do that. I took more classes. And then it grew to remodeling. And the whole remodeling is not only for remodeling. It's led me to where I'm at now. So it was a challenge for me for a little while with myself, with other things. But when I just took the leap of chance and didn't care, even if I was scared, I said yes. And I am here now doing something for my family and for others.
Awesome. Just awesome. Yeah, I'm so proud of you. Please don't take that the wrong way or patronizing way. But I'm so excited for you, man. Because in my mind, you know, I'm seeing this like a project. Oh, we could do this and we could do that and we could do the other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun to. And that's the whole thing about coaching, right? You have external sets of eyes that are looking at your situation that don't have. We don't have anything on the line here. We can just look at it and say, "What about this? What about that?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's we're not being personal, but we're just saying, hey, what about this? What about this? So, man, I saw how close you were to the school and all those kids wear backpacks and you know, you got stuff right there. I mean, kids could steal stuff if they wanted to but they don't,
you know
what I'm saying? So
and you have
awesome.
To just be, you have to be aware. And I want to say another thing. I know we have to get going, and this is to whomever you understand this. There is a challenge when you're trying to take over a business, because it wasn't easy even with my mother showing her that, you know, I can do this and lead it to a vision that I had. And you have to fight for that, you know, shed your skin off and all that. But I just want to tell everybody that, and you guys too, that if you, no matter how difficult it is, or even what boundaries or struggles you have to deal with, just take the leap of chance. And that's all I want to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't think of a more powerful message. You know, sometimes it's just that one thing can make such a big difference, and look forward to see where you're headed. So I sent you a friend request. So if you want to be my friend, you can be my friend on Facebook.
I would love to be your friend. I would love to be your friend.
Oh yeah. I'm all over this. I'm all over you, man. Nothing. Well, baby, anyway, well, great. Well, Justin, what are some closing thoughts from you?
Yeah. Yeah. So been great Wow, thank you. And as expected, I told you we had a rock star for today. You know, Bruce, see, you should go on vacation more often. I'll just line up all these great guests.
God. You're probably going to want me to go on vacation so I don't hijack your questions. I'm sure we have to have you on in 2 weeks so Justin can ask you what he wanted to ask you versus me hijacking the show. But anyway.
It just means that you're engaged and good. Yeah, so we're in the home stretch here, folks. You know, Luce, just to wrap things up here, you know, tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and your journey and what you're doing with Lupita's Now Corner Market.
Yeah, so we still are working on our actual website, but you can find us on Instagram at Lupita's Corner Market. And Lupita's Corner Market on our bio, we are now, you know, none of this is easy, but we are actually raising money for the remainder of the materials that we're going to be buying to remodel the business. So we have on our bio, if you link to our bio, a GoFundMe for our fund goal. And that's none of this will be possible if it wasn't for all the assistance of all the people that have helped us and our partners. But we also have to pay for the materials to build. So we have that if you want to look for us and help us out with that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Bruce, another great show here. You want to take us home?
Yeah, we'll take us home. Well, folks, come listen to this show and all of our other shows. They're archived for you on the LA Talk Radio website. Also, we are on iTunes, or it's called Apple Podcasts now, right? Something like that. So, but we're still on the Apple derivative, and you can Google iTunes and Concierge Coaches Show will come right up there in the Apple podcast section. So we've arranged so you could get all of our shows for free, and that is there for you. And we can be reached on social media, the Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn, on Instagram. My site is conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nevergood.com. And, you know, I should be the only one out there. So just find my last name.com.
That's brand recognition. Everyone. That's right. All right, everybody. So until then, we'll see y'all here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a blessed week, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.